Okay, it's 6:30. I'd like to call the September 18th meeting of the Candia Planning Board to order. Please rise and pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call. Judy.
Here.
Mark.
Here.
Tim, here. Brian.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Rudy.
Here.
And Kevin.
Here.
Okay. So, and none of the alternates here, just to make a note of that. The first thing on the agenda is Nate to talk about the impact fees for both roads and emergency services. And we do actually have somebody online, Kathleen Kiernan. So I wouldn't go through a PowerPoint, but if you want to just do a quick overview for her.
Okay.
Unless, Kathleen, you have already heard all this and don't need to hear it.
Yeah, I've already heard it all and I've read it all, so I don't think you need to repeat yourself.
Okay, perfect.
Awesome.
But I mean, you are having a public hearing, so somebody else might come in.
Yep, and we can go over it then, and since it is a public hearing.
Right now you own the screen.
You own the screen and the dialogue. Do you have any input?
No, glad to see you're moving ahead with it.
Great, thanks.
Did you do the? Is it an official public hearing?
Yeah, I guess I should do the official public hearing statement. That just was kind of like a, yeah. So at 6:33, we're going to open the public hearing on the Town of Candia impact fees for public safety and for road impact. And
one at a time, please.
And I think. That endeth the public hearing.
No public comment.
No public comment, and we will now close the public hearing. Any comments from the board?
Well, just want to thank Nate for doing a great job.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And so we end up at a grand total of, give or take, around 20,000. 2,000, excuse me.
Yeah, it's cuckoo now.
Yeah, around 2,000 per...
It's, 1421 on the roadside, 597 on
something like that.
Which is a reasonable increase from the 13.5 or whatever it was 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. 597 on the public safety one for a single family detached, and 1421 for single family on the road.
Yeah. 20, a little over 20.
Okay. I have a question, though. Both documents on the bottom of page 2 in the last paragraph in the italics say no later than 60 days following the end of the year, you prepare a report listing all expenditures, impact fees, and revenues. Who does that?
DQMUs, right?
No, thank you.
She takes care of it. I know she does the budgeting and the paying of the bills.
Because the line before it says a new subsection was inserted that states this, so it's a new report. I just didn't know if
it's been a requirement for a few years.
Okay,
now. Yeah.
So she's probably already doing it since we're charging impact fees.
Okay,
now.
All right, just verifying.
Yeah, the one thing
the part that used to fall through the cracks.
Yep. The other thing that I'm going to try to do in the future is every year. Say, you know, in a December meeting or something, you know, make sure we put it on the agenda to address the impact fees and do some sort of cost of living increase. We don't have to redo the calculations, but we do have to make a motion that we increase it by squat percent or
CPI or whatever
the construction cost index or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we banter it about and decide whether or not we want to make that increase.
Right.
But I don't want to sit here 7 years from now and not have addressed it for 7 years, because that's just not smart business, right?
Right.
Good. That's kind of my only take. So
excellent job. We need a motion to accept as final.
Correct.
The documents as issued.
Correct.
I make such a motion.
I'll second.
All right.
Should you say which documents they are, just for the
Just for the record.
That would be the Town of Candia Public Safety Impact Fee and Road Impact Fee Schedules.
All right. Judy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Tim. Yes. Brian.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Okay. They are so moved and so put in place. Before you leave, we're going to give you a nice early night.
Yep.
But what I wanted to talk about was billing for this. Has any billing occurred for
billing
this year?
For
the impact fees?
No.
Okay.
I was waiting until the job was finished to bill for that.
Gotcha. So that's all going to come in this year's budget.
Yes, I can send a bill quickly. I didn't want to send a bill upon completion before you had gone through the step of adopting
Perfect.
Them in case there were any final changes or anything.
That's out of last year's budget.
Yeah, but he wants to complete it this year.
Right, we want to complete it this year. So we've got another $8,500 in this year's budget, right?
Yes.
That we will, in fact, really good segue, Rudy. Nate has given us the estimate for the impact fees for
school
and solid waste.
Yep.
And they came in at $8,000. We have $8,500 in the budget.
Shouldn't have told them that.
Well, we sent the estimate. We sent a letter for budgeting purposes, you know, a few months ago now. Same number.
It was at least 6 or 8 months ago.
We
talked about that.
Yeah.
And so, this gets paid for out of our budget, not out of the grant.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, now I don't know, giving back $500, you know, Russ Dan doesn't seem to want us to give back money at the end of the year, so I'm not sure if we can.
We're going to have a planning board party.
There might be something that comes up for $500, you know, that's still in the planning.
It could be.
There might.
You never know.
So,
you want a motion?
I want a motion that I can sign this.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
So those will be done by December.
the bills
no.
or the
yeah the bills yeah yeah
yeah we're going to get started on them, but the school one is a little bit more complicated because there's some school data that we're going to need to get from the school that we're going to need to merge with the assessing database for enrollment ratios and things like that. That will take. That could either be really quick or require a lot of hand-holding. So I'm not sure, you know, how it's going to go yet, but the next two that we do are, the school one is a you know, a notch or two more complex than the road and public safety. So we're going to get started on them. I actually won't be able to have the contract countersigned until about October 4th or so. This will be a just left for about 2 weeks, so...
Okay.
When she is back, I'll be able to have that contract countersigned on our end, and then we can get started.
That's fine.
Thankfully, in my experience at school, everything with them has been very straightforward. They've been forthcoming with information. So
it should be straightforward.
So, Nate, reach out to Becky Wing. She's the principal.
Okay.
Yeah. Before we interrupt you, because we got a motion on the table.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm going to start with Kevin.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Tim. Mark.
Yes.
And Judy.
Yes.
There we go. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, I will update the cover sheets of the both impact fees to take draft off and put adopted, the date of adoption by the board, and get those to Amy so that she can put final versions into place. And now that you've adopted them, they're good to go at this point.
Did we need an effective date on that or no?
Well, that's what I was just going to say, too. You do.
Yeah.
You can say effective the first of the year. You can say effective upon approval. But probably the best thing to do is to say the beginning of next year. January 1st.
I would
suggest.
Yeah. Wow.
Just to keep it, you know, because there's a lot of things that are going on right now for the next few months, and it'll just be confusing. It's just like all the building codes. If you don't do them the right time, they just...
You want to amend that motion?
Let's amend that motion. That was Kevin made that motion. Do you want to amend that motion to make it...
Make it effective January 1st of 2025.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Judy, you want to second that again?
Yes, second.
All right, we'll go down the vote again, but I don't imagine it'll change. So, Judy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
Tim, just for your notes to put in for December, make sure that early you get the stuff to the select board about encumbering those funds, and make sure that it actually gets to them. We lost it one year because it didn't quite...
Right. Oh, okay. Okay. So. Good to know.
If you want just either a letter or just to show up for the next budget meeting, either one.
Okay.
A letter would do.
Okay. Good. Anybody got anything else for Nate before we send him on his way back to Enfield?
All right.
Nope.
Well, thanks for your hard work.
What's that?
I did have an early evening.
It's you guys might have an early evening too, based on not a whole lot remaining on the agenda.
It's been a long time since we've had an early evening.
Nate, I sent you that email with her name.
Okay, great. Yeah, I made a note, Becky, school principal, on my paper. So yes, I will. We'll talk with her. I'll get the invoice sent in for these two impact fees now that they've been adopted, and we'll get the... Sylvia's out for 2 weeks. When she's back, I'll have her countersign the school and solid waste one. We'll get started on that.
Amy, can you get them on the website and have her know that they're effective the first of the year?
I'll put that on the cover page of both, that were adopted tonight, and that they're effective January 1st of
25.
Great. Perfect.
Yeah. All right.
So if somebody wants to build, they better hurry up and build.
Yeah.
Pull it. Hurry up and get your permit. Get your permit before the end of the year.
Exactly.
Goodbye, Nate.
All right, have a good one.
Thank you. Right, you too.
Thank you, Nate.
So next on the agenda is the HOP grant, and the HOP steering committee is having a meeting October 3rd. I don't necessarily know why, since there's no work for them to do now, but I'm going to go to that meeting and just set the expectations that there won't be anything to do for a while. And I think also, you know, because we've got to go through a series of looking at the town ordinances, and I don't even have the project plan yet from Southern Hampshire Planning, so we don't even know what our schedules are going to be and how this is going to proceed out. And as I said before, the first thing I want to do is, and I'll talk about StanTech in a minute, is try and get from StanTech that low-hanging fruit that's in the zoning ordinance and in the subdivision regulations, to see if we can make those changes this cycle rather than waiting for the end of the project. Let's get some low-hanging fruit now. So I'm going to set those expectations with them, but I just also wanted to briefly chat with the board. We don't need to make a decision tonight or anything, but I think we're going to need this steering committee for the community outreach on this, because if we're going to try to make zoning changes to create...
ADUs?
I'm not so worried about the ADU piece, although they might help with that. I'm more worried about, you know, if we're going to, in the final go-round of this, make some changes to the zoning ordinances to make housing more affordable here in Candia, and maybe some higher density housing here or there, we're going to need that community outreach to get input back from the town and to get the message out to the town. But my take is that sometime before the end of the year, we should have a discussion about that board and look at, make, see if those members want to continue on or not, and make another appeal to see if anybody else is interested in participating in that group, so that we get a good diverse sets of eyes and minds on it, and then reapprove that group and say, okay, you guys are now ready to go.
Sounds
good.
Does
that sound like a reasonable plan to everybody?
Yep, if they want to continue, it sounds good.
Verify the participants and then also give them their charter, what they're going to charge to do.
Right.
Yep.
So, again, I'm showing up at the October 3rd meeting just to kind of set the playing field, let them all know, kind of, guys, we're in idle mode right now. We don't even have a project plan yet and know where we're going. And probably until spring or summer, I doubt they'll have much work to do. Because we're going to have to go through all these other processes to figure out what we really need to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That all sound pretty reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so next on the agenda is approval of minutes. And without going into detail, you will notice that the things that could be litigious, for lack of better terminology, the minutes are going to be a little more summarized. We don't need to hear that Tim said yes, Rudy said I don't think so, Scott said, well, that may be. Right, we don't need that level of dialogue in the minutes on an ongoing basis. So we're doing some technology and formatting changes to.
So instead of 300 lines, it might be 150.
Correct.
I like it.
Why did you go to AI and then?
No, we're not going to AI
in the minutes.
No,
she actually has voice recognition now.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That is picking it up. It has not relieved the manual part of it, though. But it's helping a lot.
Immensely.
Good.
And that means that when we need her to join in, she won't be like... mm-hmm. You know, it's difficult to follow the meeting when your ears are sending the information directly to your hands. It's not stopping in your brain. You got that from
the sign language interpreters. They are only allowed to work 30 minutes at a time because they're processing to their hands. And
cool.
Yeah.
And then it was the guy from Southern New Hampshire Planning who said he uses this.
Yes. James Vail.
Yeah. And so
I like the old way when they knew how to do shorthand.
Yes. that was
you wouldn't be able to read my shorthand.
My writing,
well, that's what it used to be.
Yeah.
My writing looks like shorthand.
Clips and averages.
Yeah. They have to.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah, well
but that's a dying exercise.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think just capturing the spirit of what's going on.
Yeah, that's all
the most
that's
important
all
part.
Right.
I mean we've been advised
there
by,
a recording.
By town council
audio
for
is
years.
Audio
to do that.
Is
right.
If you want the complete yeah.
Yeah, so that's the plan. And again, she's got that voice recognition software working, and I think that's being put on our budget.
It's split between the zoning board and the planning board.
Except when the court cases come up, and you have to have all of the tapes totally written out.
That's why we were also advised to get rid of the tapes.
Mm.
Ah,
years ago.
Something to consider.
It sounds like a Hillary Clinton thing.
No.
Richard Nixon thing.
After the minutes were approved, we'll reuse them.
All right.
I thought, is it all about this, your favorite word, transparency?
Thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, anybody got any comments on the...
I do.
Okay.
One quickie on this August 21st.
Right, we'll
153. It's black pack, not black back.
What is it?
Black pack.
Black pack,
pack.
One word or two words?
One. Well, the black is one word and then packed.
Okay.
It's not backed.
Is it? I'm not capitalized.
No, it's just material.
Black pack. Okay.
Not a big deal. You are putting it back, but it's black back.
I was fine with everything else. Anybody else have any
motion
comments?
To approve the August 21st minutes with the one correction?
Second.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
I got it.
You got it.
That was good.
Judy got it. Judy got it.
153.
All right, we'll start with you, Judy, because Kevin is looking here.
Yes.
Mark.
Abstain.
Abstain wasn't here. Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
And Kevin.
Yes.
All right. Anything on the 7th? On the meetings of the 7th?
No, 4th.
4th. I'm sorry. Fourth.
Oh, I have the 7th. Are you jumping to September 4th and not doing August 7th?
The 7th was done.
So okay.
Was
done. Okay. That's what I did.
I'm sorry. I'm
no problem.
With me. Again, anybody got anything on that?
I do on line 43.
Is that an open sentence?
Well, I tried to summarize what was stated previously, so I looked at the 8:21 minutes, and Martel had on line 161 to 166 kind of talked about his concerns, which I tried to relay in a summary. So I'm not sure the best way to. Can you do parentheses reference 8:21 line 161 to 166?
8:21 minutes, line what to what?
161 to 166.
166.
Yes.
Yes. On which, on line 43?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Anything else? A motion? Motion to
actually, line 100. Sorry.
Yep. No.
99 ends with, if we ever got challenged on it, we would lose, period, the land evaluations, period. I don't really know what that means.
Which one was that one?
Line 100.
Number 100.
Oh.
The land evaluation.
Yeah.
Just get rid of the land evaluations.
Yeah. Good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that really is a different topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was, yeah, because I think that if we ever get challenged on it, we would lose was 3 acres only.
Correct.
Right.
So that's only, what it's referencing. Yeah.
Both.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Britain versus Chester.
Okay.
All right.
Why don't I make a motion that we accept the September 4th minutes as edited.
Second?
Okay.
Rudy. Okay. Now, Judy abstain?
Yes.
Mark abstain? Tim, yes. Brian?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rudy?
Yes.
Tim, Kevin,
yes.
I want to vote twice. It's kind of the Chicago way.
early on.
All right. So, regulations. That was put in here to talk about the ADU regs. This is what I updated based on what everybody said last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let everybody read it for a minute.
Tim, I have a question for you. In the beginning, we're talking about, in Section 504, you had if conditional use, Section 5.08. But in the table, 5.2, you have both of them as being special exceptions for the second one, not conditional use.
Oh, I did not take that out. You're correct. Well, no, it's subject to the first one is
permitted.
First one is permitted subject to the provisions
of 15.04E.
Right.
Yeah, and then the second one
is a special exception for the zoning board.
Right. But later on, you're talking about conditional use. There was something else in the, where was it in that section? think it was just to get rid of that if conditional use section 5.08, because it's not, it has nothing to do with conditional use the way that it's written in the table.
Oh, get rid of why that's in there, yep.
Oh, yeah, oh, there it is. And in that section, that section says the second accessory dwelling unit shall be permitted as a conditional use. But that should be as a special exception, not conditional use. If your first table was the guiding factor.
Right, a special exception.
No, that actually, that is in the current ordinance, right, where it says C. That's the legend for that table.
Yeah, but no, because you have second accessory use, special exception in the R, special exception in the mixed use.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have any conditional uses.
There actually is here residential, or there isn't any on this, but that's actually what the zoning ordinance looks like now. I just changed the table.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying. Your table is referring to special exceptions, S and S, not anything with C. So then if you go down to section 504E, you've got conditional use, which is a C, not an S, in the table.
You're talking under 15.04E?
Yeah.
And the fourth line? If you go to the third line, a second accessory dwelling unit shall be permitted as a conditional use.
A conditional use.
And that should say special exception.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then just delete that first part in parentheses at the top.
Right here. He's saying it should say special exception.
Oh, yeah. Conditional use. Yep. Yeah. Special exception. Yep.
And then in that next line is a little bit of a contradiction, too, to what you, I think, intended in the first paragraph, because accessory dwellings... let's see. What was that going to be? Never mind. That was fine. Yeah, that was fine.
That one's good.
Yep. Yeah, that was fine. Mm-hmm. That the paragraph with adequate sewer and water service, that should be changed just to adequate sewer capacity.
Well, don't we want accurate water?
Yeah. Water capacity? I think the water we talked about should be there too.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Because
the thing is he's referring in the next line to the state of New Hampshire septic systems regulations. Mm-hmm. So if you want to keep the water there, that's fine.
Keep the water because some places they're only getting a gallon a minute.
You
can't have two.
But take out
dwellings.
Don't specify New Hampshire septic system regulations. Put in. New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services.
Applicable
regulations would probably be the easiest thing to do. Because DES doesn't have any requirements for a home to have certain amounts of water.
No, but I think it's the who of us to...
It is, but don't refer to the DES because it's...
Correct.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right.
So you probably should put, what I would suggest is just have that, shall have...
Well, you can change it and just get rid of the and water part of it to insert the state part for the septic, and then at the end, adequate water.
Perfect. Yeah. And adequate water.
Well, why don't we just do this? Why don't we just switch water and sewer in order? And we say adequate water and sewer as, you know...
Because you're still referencing the state septic system. That way, the other way, it gets rid of it and the water is separate. It just says adequate water,
period. Right. Yeah.
And I'd probably just for the sake of making everything consistent again, instead of saying adequate sewer, just say adequate disposal system, because that would be what we refer to with DES.
Yeah, I was just using the verbiage that's in there now.
They would deal with the sewer and stormwater runoff and all that.
No, for a single family residence.
But you're adding added dwelling units to it now.
Right, and that's still okay because it hasn't cut into that point where you'd have to worry about stormwater runoff or anything like that, because it's still just a residential structure. Not getting to the point of like an AOT level and runoff and things like that for a small development.
Right, but if you have a one in and one detached, then you would hit the stormwater, wouldn't you?
Nope.
Any of that would be probably picked up by the building inspector when he provides the building permit to do it. He's going to say you may require that that be looked at.
The interesting part is that there used to be no regulations on it. You could do as many things as you wanted on your property as you want. But once the ordinances came in and said you can only have one building on a lot, well, then that opened up a whole new can of worms because you can't have like a guest house. You can't have a pool house or anything like that. And that's why they came back and put the ADU thing in. But back then it was still like, no, as long as it's a residential.
And that's before they even started regulating septic systems.
Right.
As long as your toilet flushed and it didn't come out on top of the ground, they were happy.
Yeah, or come down Chester Road like it was in one of those houses.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Okay, so you good with changing that over or what?
Mm-hmm.
And what did you want to change? You wanted to change adequate to
state-approved
sewer?
We can do adequate water and sewer disposal service shall be provided in accordance with the State of New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services.
No, we wanted to get the water separated from the sewer.
Said, adequate water, period.
Okay.
And then sewer disposal shall be provided in accordance with New Hampshire State Department of Environmental Services applicable regulations.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
Sound reasonable?
That's That'll probably get us half confused when they try to do it.
So on this next one, Bob, I had two phone calls with Bob today. And, you know, we don't mention anything here about a basement.
Well, that's not really calculated. And when you get a building permit for a home.
Yeah, he says it is.
Yeah.
He says they calculate that square footage.
Yeah, but not for living space.
Right, not as living.
Yeah, but.
It's like storage.
And that's what we're talking about here.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's very easy to turn that basement into living space.
That's beside the point.
Right.
The basement is the basement for utilities and whatever.
Whatever.
And I told him we were probably just going to stand pat.
Correct. Thank you.
Yeah, let's not get into the weeds.
We'll do ours.
I don't think many people are going to do a basement in an 850 square foot.
Well, you know.
But
could.
Kevin says, you know, people will
depends
do
if
people
it's that cottage style thing, or they're going to be above garages, you know. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. It's going to be most of the city above garages.
I live in a ranch. It's on a slope, and
so you got living space
down. We finished our basement with a permit, and have a walkout basement, and so I could easily envision that happening. And why wouldn't you do that?
But they would have to be turned down for a building permit because it would be over the 850 square feet.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That covers it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They could fix it up and put couches and everything in there, but it wouldn't be considered the living space.
Right, as long as they don't do any work on it.
Right, because they couldn't have a bedroom down there unless they redid the foundation to have a direct access out of the bedroom.
Yeah. But again, if they're going to do anything down there, they're going to pull a building permit, the answer is going to be no.
Right, right.
So from a legal perspective.
Yeah, because that's more than 850 square feet.
Right.
Yeah. Who knows? A year from now, we may have to modify it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Things change.
Or 2 years, or whatever.
All right, anything else on the back part of the page here?
Just a question, Tim, when you're looking at Article 9. Will they inadvertently be required, in the way that this is written, to put in an extra parking space?
No.
Because if the residential thing is to have two parking spaces, and then you add another unit, then you'd probably want to have another parking area.
And the purpose for this is exactly that. If they got two parking spaces for the main house, right, and they add an accessory unit, they're going to need additional parking for that accessory unit.
No, I agree with that.
If they got four parking spaces for the house, Article 9 would only require four or three or whatever. I think it's four.
Right.
So they would not have to add any.
Now, refresh my memory, too, because it's been a while since I read this and you read it, too. The proposed state regulation, didn't that have something in there that says that you the town couldn't require them to put additional parking in. It doesn't matter to this, because we can put this in, because there's nothing that it's going against, but it's just something to keep in mind if that legislation comes back and they said, we can't.
Then maybe we wouldn't be able to, but I don't remember, I don't remember that deep.
There was a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I think there was something about we can require more.
You know, so, what I didn't want to do was I didn't want to say, oh, you're building an ADU, you've got to create more parking spaces.
Right, right. This is a great way to put it.
Right, yeah. So I figured we could do that. If you've got more than you need now, great, you don't have to do a thing.
Yeah. No, I think, like I said, it's fine the way it is. I was just...
Yeah, I don't know what's...
We'll see what comes up.
And we'll see if that bill comes back or if another bill comes out or if anything happens.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to wait and see.
That one path is either the primary or I thought the primary unit had to be occupied by the owner.
That's the existing ordinance. That verbiage is the existing ordinance.
The Sierra is?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, just like that water good. That water and sewer was the existing ordinance as well. Mm-hmm. So
no, that makes sense.
Good to wordsmith it.
So this way, if the parents or the owners, they can want to move into the ADU,
and
the kids are going to have a family.
Yeah, makes sense.
Can live in the main
the
house.
Mother-in-law apartment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. No, I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what was in there.
Yep.
That's kind of a given. The next one.
Yeah. Well, I had to make an edit there because it just said because they had to be attached.
Mm-hmm.
It said that state codes. For any ADU had to meet the state codes because
right.
It had to be attached. So,
yeah.
And
we agreed on the 100 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they want water, it comes from ZBI.
Current fire code for two families doesn't require sprinklers, does it?
You can't require sprinkler systems for single and double or single or two family residents.
It's a law. And we did, the shall be issued is in here.
Yeah.
Now the existing entrances, because we are already allowed to have two per dwelling. So
that's why I did entrances. So if they've currently got two driveways, as long as it's off one existing.
Okay.
And that's why I didn't say driveway.
Yeah.
That's why I said street access.
Okay.
So if they don't currently have a second driveway but wanted to have one, they'd have to come for a permit of that, right?
They'd have to get
it's pretty simple. It's just
ZBA.
Just meets site. No, I don't even think that. I think Bob can do it. As long as it meets the site distances and all that and the road agent's happy with it.
Yeah.
That's all that they do for the initial one.
Right.
Yeah. And a lot of people will put them in like for a barn.
Right. Correct. Because it's usually detached a little bit, so it makes it easier than using the house driveway.
Good job, Tim.
Yeah.
Detached because it smells with the horses and stuff.
Yeah.
You want it further away.
Downwind.
Yeah.
Smell
shit.
Yeah.
It's all organic.
So.
Smells wholesome.
Do we want to put this for public comment for our next meeting?
Yeah.
Public hearing, excuse me, yeah.
Yeah, because this is going to be submitted as a zoning ordinance.
Correct.
Yeah.
If you get it done next month, they're going to be way ahead.
Awesome. That sounds good.
Yeah, well, we might be sneaking some other stuff under the wire, so let's get this one done and dusted.
Right.
So when this gets submitted for warrant article approval, you have to submit the whole page, right?
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll have to get it passed by legal and whoever else to get a nomine patri spiritus sanctus sanctus.
Believe it or not, in theory, the answer to your question is no. You can just have
a reference
to it and then see whatever. Because
but this could go in the Boy Scout flyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when we did the village district, we didn't have 6 pages of stuff in the town warrant. It just was a summation and from town council. You can do that as long as these documents are available.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll make a motion to accept the proposed zoning amendments for
as
ADUs as amended.
A second.
Mm. Okay. Kevin.
Yes.
Rudy.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes. Yes.
Tim. Yes. Mark.
Yes.
And Judy.
Yes.
Perfect. I want to thank everybody for this. This has been a really great collaborative.
You did the lion's share of the work and you did a nice job with it.
Well, thanks. Nice
and clarified a lot of sticky points.
Yeah.
So in this case, we're ahead of the state for a change.
Yes.
And I think we tried to keep the town's rights and desires in line with what makes sense for homeowners to have liberty to do with what they own. I think it's a really nice piece of work.
And I think, too, we're going to provide some level of relief for affordable housing in town.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. And like I was talking with Carla Penfield, and she was throwing up a negative about ADUs because she said that, you know, a lot of the ADUs get rented out. They're not even used for family members. And I said, that's okay, Carla. We have a dearth of rental units here in Candia.
Yeah.
So that answers another problem we've got. It's like,
right.
That's not a negative. That's actually a positive.
Right. A potential positive, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, they can bring some revenue in. Person gets to rent a place, and then we get more taxes. It's a win-win-win.
And they go to Cello's for dinner, and they go to the it's all good.
It's all good.
Just as another part of that conversation, though, is that there's been some issues in some of the other towns with ADUs being used as
VRBOs.
Yeah. Airbnbs, and things like that.
Short-term rentals,
Right, which this is happening in Lincoln a lot. I know that because of
the season.
There is probably, I think what they said in the last time they had a meeting, it was like 70% of the buildings in Lincoln are rental or are seasonal units, and there's no housing for the people who work there.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it's just
interesting.
Because you can make more money doing Airbnb than you can renting.
The difference is there, Moody, is that's more of a destination place in Candia.
Well, yeah, I would say so, but still, you got to kind of look at it. But let's say, for example, you know, as Jim just said, I'll just say it's like this could help the situation where people need a reasonably priced place to live. But on the other hand, if someone had two ADUs, and they said, hey, you know what? I can just rent these things out and make more money than having to just have one person in there. So it's just something to just keep in the back of your mind.
I'm going to agree with Brian there a little bit, though, because, I mean, you know, I go by the B&B here in town all the time, and I don't oftentimes see many cars in there. I don't know how many people are typing Candy in Hampshire into Airbnb. I'm not saying it won't happen, but I can't personally can't see it getting to a critical.
That's a pretty good business with people in his B&B.
Does he?
Yeah.
So, looking at every angle and how to make a buck. Some places do say no short-term rentals, no rental less than 30 days or something. Would this be the appropriate place to put that kind of verbiage, or do we not want to do that?
To me, I'd rather see how this plays out, and we can come back next year if we have to
edit it or change it or whatever.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know,
we're not going to
hit every angle.
Well, see, the other thing, too, is that...
But this is a foreseeable one.
The other thing, too, is that we looked at short-term rentals, and we said you can short-term rental up to
185
days as a short-term rental. So, you know, that's a heck of a lot longer than 30 days.
That's a half a year, and that's based on seasonal rental.
Yeah.
But I think what that means, too,
you can't rent it for any less than 30 days.
Less than 30.
because they don't want to have all that.
Yes, more.
Right. Yeah, I kind of regret. And I could be completely wrong, so but my personal perspective is I don't see this as becoming an issue here in Candia. But
like Brian said, just watch for it.
Keep I agree. Next up is town planning, and I think we'll use this space to talk about Raymond. Scott, Brian, and myself went to the Raymond Planning Board meeting.
Before we get into that, because that's probably going to be a lot more discussion.
Yeah.
If everybody doesn't know, Brian Ruoff is no longer town engineer. And I think, being the time of year it is, and the fact that Brian is gone, I think it's a great opportunity to maybe look at a different company being our town engineer.
I'm okay with that discussion.
Okay. So just so everybody's...
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, Brian was awesome to work with, but...
Yeah, I'm not going
to...
Did he go to another business?
No, he went to Keene.
Yeah, he went to Keene.
Oh, Keene?
Yeah. I thought it was Rochester. Oh, Keene. I was Keene. On the wrong
place. Yeah. He lives in Peterborough.
On the wrong side of the state.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he lives in Peterborough. So for him,
it makes a lot of sense.
Oh, he's in Peterborough?
Yeah.
Keene.
So I just have one question, because he was going to be scheduled to come to the conservation meeting and talk about some of the things we wanted added on the GIS mapping for the town. So that should be on hold at this point?
I would say that's probably on hold. I'm trying to schedule a call. I've reached out to them and looking at Tuesday, Wednesday next week. We've gotten two replacements, mm-hmm. Renee and Dan.
Well, you're not actually getting replacements. They were the engineers for...
Right, yeah, just different
Renee
bodies.
Was... Yeah. Oh, Tatum, Dan Tatum?
Dan Tatum, yeah.
Yeah. And so, Renee worked
with
Brian's boss.
Yeah. Okay. So my concern is, so Renee was Brian's boss?
He was, yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Because my concern is, too, that I don't want us to be thrown into town engineer by committee. You know, this week you've got Dan, next week you got Mary, the week after that you got...
Right, the new hire.
Right.
You want to contact.
Right,
That's why I said, also, because it's budget time, it's a good time to maybe look at a different agency.
Yeah.
Well, I think Brian did a good job for us.
He did an awesome job.
And I think, just speaking openly and honestly, you know, Stantec has the reputation as being they're the huge one that bought everybody up. So everybody refers to them as a billing machine. Like, we never saw that Brian created great value. I don't think they overcharged our clients, but that was the complaint. And I know there was a push by Ronnie Severino a couple of years back when he said, I've had it with Stantec, and he was really pushing for Keach and Nordstrom out of Bedford. But
we will not choose.
But as a town, like, we don't. We really should look at it, because we don't want...
In other words, it's a perfect time of year to be doing it. In the budget side.
They had lawsuits. They were overbilling people. Like, Stantec is... But Brian did a great job, so we were kind of like... Right. It was working. But
And he wasn't overbilling. He was...
Right. No,
he was billing very fair.
And I thought, as an applicant, I felt like I was being treated fairly well. So I didn't see that. But they have had lawsuits, and there's been contentious stuff with them, so... So I think we should at least look around and say, hey, this is the time.
Because of the GIS, and now the cemeteries are in GIS, I just want to make sure we don't lose that cohesion, because we were adding
more
cemeteries
into that. Yeah, we can
still
work with and complete those processes.
The one thing is, I believe that GIS software maintenance is paid by Stantec, so we'll have to move that to wherever we get that bill from Stantec. So we'll... There would be a transition period where we'd have to move things over.
Right.
And we really should understand, like, I don't even, what other engineers, like, that's one name that was thrown out there.
Right,
we could circle back and say, you know what, Stantec's great, and Dante will take Dan Tan, but we should at least, we've been with this, you know.
I can ask Nate his take on the engineering firms. Nate's a...
Fronted with them on certain things.
Yeah.
If you are going to be out looking for new people, I assume you're going to have a list of how do we handle GIS transfer, and know the things they do. So how would we transition that to you?
We're going to have to figure all that out.
That's complete unknown to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Southern New Hampshire Regional Planning does contract with an engineering firm every year, especially for any specific projects too. I forgot who the latest one was, but they did have one of the engineering firms that was handling all applications for something particular.
So yeah, that's a good comment, good place to start, and I'll talk with Nate, and then we can start trying to create a list of things that ScanTech does for us. Things we need to transition.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, right now we don't have any big things in the works.
Correct.
That they're elbows deep in.
We get the cemetery wrapped up, and if the conservationists get concerns, we can deal with that too.
Yeah.
And the Methodist says we can't complete the contracts that we got going with ScanTech as we transition to somebody else.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah, I was gonna bring that up, but.
So we need to put this out to a bid process.
You can't put it out to a
Not a process. Yeah,
wow. We can put it out for a request for qualifications.
RFI.
Yeah.
Request for information and have them come in and talk to us and get comfy cozy with them. And, in 5 minutes, I'm sure each one of us will go yes or no on most of the people that come in, right? Because it does all come down with personalities, right?
Personalities and history of projects and whatnot,
And I think Brian was reasonable. Like, I know for myself, as through the years, as an applicant, you know what I mean? Like, he's a guy, you go on a stand tech, but you could work it out. So you're right, it depends on that personality at that place, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we want somebody very competent, we're going to protect the town, but we don't want them making the applicant do it all kinds of, making it tougher than it needs to be, but at the same time, we got to cover, we have a responsibility to protect the town.
And make sure that they're, sizable enough that if Bob leaves, we're not high and dry.
Right.
Another key man is another, we're a six-person firm.
Yeah. Next man up, at least there's a next one up.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if you're a six-person firm and they're all partners, that's fine, because partners tend not to leave.
Not without settlement.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, so back to Raymond. The three of us did go. Before we get to the meat of the matter, and I'll let Scott and Brian talk. I talk too damn much, so I'll let them take the lead on that. But the actual facility was really strange.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a library.
At the school.
At the school.
Yeah.
They don't have a meeting room in the town hall, I guess. And the acoustics were really bad. You couldn't hear the people talk very well. And
there was special seating.
They had special
so they could film you.
Right. So there was a table in front of the board with a microphone and a hookup to a, wasn't a flat screen projector thing. It was an old fashioned screen with basically an overhead, camera going to it. And in order to talk, you had to be sitting at the applicant's table to talk. So when the applicant sat down and they said, we'll let Candy, our neighbors from Candy, speak. So the applicant had to pick up all their stuff, move out of the way.
Yeah.
We sat down, we talked, we got up, the applicant sat back down and he talked. And the next person came up, the applicant got back up.
Wow.
It was really...
That's not unusual.
Strange.
Most towns do exactly that. I know that Deerfield does it with their selectmen's meeting, that you come up and you sit at the table in front. That's very common.
But in a planning board situation, it's really tough because the applicant has to keep...
disrupting everything. Yeah.
They had
every
to pick up all their plans.
But that's the way they do it. Because I know the guy that does the videography for them and stuff. And they, instead of having the camera zooming or doing an owl or something like that, they just have the set camera so you don't have to do anything other than make sure that it's working.
And it was a set microphone at that seat.
Yeah.
And it, again, the acoustics were so bad that microphone, like this room, people at the back of the room can hear you talk. There, we were not that far away, and it was difficult to hear some people talk. The only thing we did like about it was because it was a library and it was school budget, the three of us were sitting
chairs.
In these beautiful overstuffed chairs.
They were school on rollers. You could move around, but they were comfortable as all get out.
I mean, we really looked.
Maybe you ought to pay attention to that, Brian. Next time furniture comes around.
Well, we don't
around,
have
huh?
the space for a lot of roll around chairs, but anyway.
We really did look like the Candy and Moppy. The three of us came in, sat down, lined up in a row with the arms crossed.
But I do want to say that Tim did a presentation, and he did an excellent job.
Thank you.
Representing all the candidates' concerns.
Our interests.
So, I mean, he really...
Took a hard line with,
yeah.
with
and,
regard
yeah,
to remuneration.
Yeah.
Remuneration. He's like...
Yeah. And we're looking wow. for compensation for our roads.
Good. That's good.
Yeah. Because the other thing was, everything the Google Map did, if you Google mapped it, everybody left there and went to Baton Hill Road and Depot Road.
Yeah.
And so that means they came right out onto
Main Street right.
And that's already a terrible, mm-hmm. two terrible intersections. Mm-hmm. So.
I tried to pull out of the Irving today.
Yeah.
Try pulling out of the Irving sometime when that traffic.
And they did keep mm-hmm. pulling it back because it was phase one that they were discussing that night. But phase two and three are
crazy dense.
Scary.
Yeah, phase one is
it's very
single
deep.
Family
peace
houses, 2 acre
lots.
Of yeah. It's phase two and three that get really ugly.
Oh, yeah.
I sat there with Brian and we Google mapped a bunch of different towns and literally if you're going to Auburn,
Chestnut's the only one that didn't come up, right?
The only one that didn't come up, but yeah. Auburn, Candia, Deerfield,
Hookson,
Allenstown,
mm-hmm.
Pembroke, the Heights of Concord,
Epsom,
it yep. puts you right through Candia.
Wow. Did you also do Seacoast areas too?
No,
Seacoast is going to pull you, I think, out on the four.
On the four.
Yeah, they're going to put
four.
You on
yeah.
the four.
Yeah.
But everything else, yeah, right through Candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chester was the only other one that sent you down.
Yeah.
There's a four.
The four.
And, yeah, I told these guys I was trying to be firm for the applicant's perspective, so I was speaking very firmly and distinctly, and I said, Town of Candy is opposed to this. We're going to expect significant remuneration for our roads, both to bring them up to current standards and for future maintenance. And I said, we really don't care whether it's the Town of Raymond that pays us or the applicant, but somebody's writing us a big check. And I talked to Jim, their zoning
yeah.
administrator, and I said, you know, I didn't want to be a dick. You know, he's like, no, you you were good. And he said, they were... giggling like, well, yeah, we're not writing them a check. The applicants.
yeah.
There's a lot of problems with this application.
A lot of problems. They weren't that prepared, I don't think.
No, it was Joe Coronado with Jones and Beach, and his reputation, really, I mean, if he would have come to this board, he had this crazy density on phases two and three. It's, you could just
yeah.
see the septic
yeah.
loading right next to a lake. You know what I mean? You were like, what are you doing? And but they had some real savvy people, especially those two women that were kind of running the show.
Yeah.
And they knew what was going on, and they were just basically calling them out. They were like, and they knew Joe, and we were kind of like, if I was Joe and I was driving home, man, I think the applicant pressured him to try to get all these units on the site because of the slopes mm-hmm. and all the wetlands. They weren't properly delineated.
Plus, they disputed their traffic study, too.
Disputed the traffic study, the wetlands, the steep mm-hmm. slopes.
So yep. it was really aggressive. So it's not going to...
So they're actually...
I'd be surprised if it
yeah.
goes anywhere.
They've also got problems, too, with... Right now, they've only got one entrance.
Yeah, I saw that.
Right? And what you didn't see, Rudy, because you wouldn't know unless you're at the meeting, between phase two and three, which is the one off to the right mm-hmm. on the plot, there's only a one-lane bridge.
Yeah.
oh.
And that's
on a wetland.
Call of their emergency.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
yes.
Planning board did not go for that.
Yeah.
And they were talking about throwing open this other road, and the planning board was like, you know, that's not a road anymore.
Mm.
That's a goat path now.
Goat.
So, you know, so there's a lot of problems.
And there's lake rights.
And the other thing that was interesting is even though they're proposing a private road, Town of Raymond still requires them to build it to town specs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's part of their
policy.
Well,
it's actually in our specs, too. But we have...
we can waive it, but I'm just saying. But there's no room for
yeah.
it. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
So they got to build all that roadway because there is an existing, you know, road there. But the planning board made it very obvious that road doesn't exist to us.
Right.
Because it's to seasonal cottages. That
yeah.
doesn't
have to
exist.
Do test pits and everything to check it.
I'm being a little bit facetious in here, but this is, to me, would be kind of the example where come in with this ridiculous plan and then say, oh, okay, well, we're going to reduce things, and then come in with a lower plan and, oh, okay, fine, we'll do that. And they'll still get to the point of what they need to do to break even or to make money on the project.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how it
I think they can get, I think they can get phase one.
I think they can probably maneuver.
But remember, Brian, they got problems with phase one because they got wetlands that they actually...
And slope, deep slope.
The engineer said, oh, those things we had marked as wetlands before, we've since determined those weren't wetlands.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it was really kind of shady. Like.
Yeah, it was...
And I thought the planning board did reasonably well.
I did, too.
Yeah.
I realize they do a lot of commercial stuff over there.
Yeah.
Because some of that stuff that they were talking about, it was like, you could tell it was pretty routine, and we were just kind of like, oh.
Well, you say there was like three of them there that were
more
really
sophisticated.
Yeah.
They were sophisticated. They've looked at a lot of commercial stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
So it was worth going to.
Well, there was one old duffer. You can tell they're going to tie this thing up for a long time, because there was one old duffer who said, I got 47 questions on traffic alone. When do I get to ask these?
Yeah.
So this is not going anywhere quick. Now, there is another meeting. I think it's the October 4th.
Something like that, yeah.
It's the
Friday?
Because this is on a Thursday, right?
Yeah, there's a Thursday. So I think it's the 3rd, which I'm going to try and go to for that. And then that's a phase one, and then I got a phase two meeting later in the month. But, you know, I don't think we need to go to all of these, but I want to be there for the traffic one.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had a selectman, too. That wasn't the selectman rep, but a selectman that also spoke very negatively about it.
Yeah.
Because of the road impact. Because he lives around that area. So.
Just didn't make sense.
Looking at
totally
the
plan, it's like, holy
crap. It's scary, isn't it?
It was nuts.
Yeah. It's that density.
Like you said, Brian, the first one, it's like the first phase.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It's like 38 units.
Yeah. Looks like a cluster of tiny houses.
Right. I guess half of them are condos, they said.
Well, most of them are
condos, and some are individuals.
Yeah.
The first phase were the individual ones.
And then I think everybody else is 55 plus.
They were?
Yeah.
In the first phase?
In that first phase. The ones on the right of that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
38 was going to be condos, yeah.
But it was another interesting thing from the select board rep, because the landowner said, well, we got approved for 170 units years ago on this property. And the woman
she
basically, she shot that down. She's like, that doesn't matter.
That doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist anymore, and this is all brand
That's
new.
That's not part of this conversation at all.
She basically, she almost said my line, because she came very close, which is, you know, past mistakes are not an assurance of present or future mistakes. So the applicant definitely should have walked out of that meeting going,
rubro.
Well, because exactly. the town already informed them that they are going to hire a third party to redo all of their wetlands, all of their steep slopes, all of the streams
at their expense.
Yeah,
they lost
the town's expense.
No, the applicant's expense.
Yeah, okay.
Because
they were questioning so much of it that, and they couldn't really justify a lot of that.
Yeah.
So it was interesting.
Yeah,
it sounds.
Like yeah, that was like wow.
Yeah.
You were there, a couple hours, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we
That's
were
all?
Like 2 hours.
I will remember
how long we
were. Oh, yeah, but...
I will say this. Raymond was incredibly welcoming, and I've had a great rapport with the guy, Jim McDermott, there, who's their planning guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he was very good. He came up
and
helped
all
of us. Yeah.
They had us speak before the applicant. The applicant came up and sat down, and they said, well, Jim said, the folks from Candy are here. Let's let them go first to get their input.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that was, they were very accommodating.
Nice.
They were very formal. Like, it wasn't, Judy,
think
what you
were,
think it was.
They were
it,
pleased
it was,
that we were there, actually.
Yeah.
They wanted input. From
they wanted input. They wanted to get some more. But yeah, I wouldn't call you Judy during the meeting. I called you Member Lindsay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Madam Chairman and all this stuff. I'm like, guys, whatever.
Lighten up.
Well, yeah. They've been through enough legal stuff too that it's probably they're even rare.
Yeah, it wasn't
right.
that long ago. They were in terrible turmoil.
Yeah.
And the select board.
And my conversations with Jim, and I won't go into detail in a public forum, but my conversations with Jim is they're under wicked development pressure.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it appears that the developers, they smell blood in the water in Raymond and are trying all kinds of crazy stuff.
Really?
Yeah. So I get where they're coming from.
Right.
you know, set that stage of this is formal and everything to keep things mm-hmm. at bay.
Yeah.
I would say that they'll get something.
Oh, they'll get something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I doubt they get two and three.
Well, it looks like a really nice piece of property, you know, but I mean, they've also got things like the town brought up this. They said, so you're going to put 247 housing units, all with beach rights to 50 right. some odd feet of beach.
Yeah.
Have you checked
where,
what the
where
state?
All those kayaks, canoes, and stuff going to go?
And kids peeing in the water and whatever else, right? Have you checked with the state on the impacts to Onaway Lake?
Right.
Mm-hmm. No. So
yeah. Didn't somebody say that was their backup water supply?
But yeah, so they got a lot of issues. This is not going to happen anytime soon, and
they pump right out of the Lamprey.
I thought somebody mentioned that, but maybe
there is a pump station down there.
Huh?
If you go to the backside of the ball fields
on the lake.
No, Lamprey.
Yeah, oh yeah, Lamprey.
But I doubt town water goes up that far. I mean, it's 2.25 miles from the fire station.
No, I don't think it goes that far. But
they could. I mean, they could put water lines in. That's no big deal.
It's a lot of money nowadays, though, infrastructure. Well, if the developer
does
it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who cares? You're paying for it.
But it was worth going.
But of course, then they're going to have to increase their water capacity.
Right.
If they
do
that, so. I was surprised looking at it, Bill, from a standpoint of, and this is something I brought up at meetings in the past, that Candy should probably look at too, is that looking at the land capacity for different things in different areas, like that's a perfect example. Is if they wanted to do that many housing units that close to a lake, well, how's the soils?
Right.
You know,
they did bring that up too.
How's the drainage?
Ridiculous.
And that's why, you know, when I was talking about the 3 acres, some of the stuff that came up that we looked at, it's like, okay, yeah, you know, in some places, even in Canada, a half an acre lot would be fine. And in other cases, you'd have to have at least 5 acres.
Right.
Halls Mill is one of those examples, is that some of the areas up in Halls Mill, Dr. Gould had bought a lot of the land, and he had looked at it and stuff, and that's when he looked at one of the plots where he cut a land off for his daughter. And the other areas there, it's just so rocky and so bony and stuff like that. You're not going to be able to put a system in.
Well, that's one of the things I'm hoping to do in HOP 2 with, you know, Stantec or whoever, right, is to figure some of that out in terms of higher density for more affordable housing. Like, not just say anywhere in residential, but based on, you know, soils and water availability, this area here. Not spot zoning, but spot zoning because of geology, not because...
Well, that's justifiable. It's not spot zoning, zoning, when you can justify something with actual technical details.
And wouldn't some of that information be available when we did the build-out study for the town? Like, if you built in any place in Candia, it could eventually look like this. Do you remember a build-out study?
We did that for the Four Corners.
And that would have been, I think it was even maybe before that. But
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other person had really good information on that was Jim.
Franklin?
Franklin.
Yeah.
Yes, because he's done a lot of the surveying stuff and has a lot of information on soils.
Right.
And that's where you really start to get to look at stuff and say, like, okay.
He's a free agent
challenge.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Yeah. The septic loading is key.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And water availability.
Mm-hmm.
Right. By the way, another interesting note, Alyssa, can't remember her last name.
Del Tufo,
thank you. Who is with Plan New Hampshire and is the administrator of the HOP grants. She is moving to Candia and not renewing her contract at Plan New Hampshire. Because her significant other is Chief Shovlin. Shovlin.
Shovlin, yeah. Shovlin.
Yeah, something like that.
Shovlin. Chad Shovlin.
Chief.
Chief, just call him Chief. So that may be another resource once she's done there and in town that we might be able to pull into our cocoon.
The inner sanctum?
The inner sanctum. Circle of trust.
She could be our Candia planner for resources.
You know, So.
Sounds some kind of cultish around here.
Well, you know, listen, even if we just pick her brain, you know.
Oh, I right. know. All yeah, that absolutely. Information.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. In town.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we get Sue to bake her cookies every week.
Blueberry muffins. Extra butter.
There you go.
Warm out of the oven.
Warm out of the oven. So,
if there's nothing else.
Yeah, that was all I had.
When you go to Blueberry Muffins, you know.
Kevin's
got a hot day.
I should have done that 8 minutes ago. I was looking at my watch. 10 minutes ago. Would have been only an hour.
Wait a minute. Rudy, if you were still talking, it'd be another hour.
It would be.
All right, second for Kevin's motion.
Second.
Ooh, good.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
I would say that's unanimous.
Thank you.